Today she's Masechta Erev and Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Our Perek, our Mishnayis, our Gemara have been discussing a situation where you have two Chatzeris that neighbor each other. Under what circumstances can the two Chatzeris make one Erev? Under what circumstances can the two Chatzeris not make one Erev? And the one, what circumstances do they have the option of doing what they want? So the general rule is that if there's an opening between the two Chatzeris, then they can make one Erev. If there isn't an opening between the two Chatzeris, then they cannot make an Erev. And now Mishnah has been discussing what is going to be the halacha if you have a wall in between. So if you have a wall in between, how does the halacha look at that situation? Does the halacha say that that separates? Typically, the halacha will tell us that that would separate the two areas. If there is no wall in between, if there is no wall in between, then they're open to each other. And if there is a wall in between, what we need to be discussing is how can that wall be considered diminished that you could, because the two sides are open to each other. Yesterday's shiur we discussed quite extensively if there are ladders on the two sides of the wall, and because there are ladders on the two sides of the wall, you can traverse the area between the two walls. How would the halacha look at it? So the Gemara continues discussing different situations where we have the wall between the two chatzeres, but we have a way of accessing from one chaser to the next. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Arava Baravua, Ziz, if we have a platform, a beam, Hayotz Min HaKoysel, that comes out of the wall that's between these two Chatzeris, V'yei Arba Al Arba, and the dimensions of this platform that sticks out is a 4x4 by Tfachim, V'niachalov Sulam, and somebody puts a ladder next to that platform. So even though, as we learned in the previous year, typically for a ladder to be considered a ladder that gives us the ability to connect the two chatzeris, the ladder has to be 4 tefachim wide. In this situation, says the Gemara, even if the ladder doesn't have that width, even if it's kol shehu, even if it's a very narrow ladder, miyatoy, that will be enough to consider that there's a way to access one side to the chatzar to the other side of the chatzar. Even though the ladder, as we just said, does not have to be very wide, the halacha does, however, require that there be less than 3 tefachim between each rung of the ladder. If there are no 3 tefachim between the rungs of the ladder, that's not considered a ladder. V'loy amarin, but continues the Gemara, that this ladder that we're saying is going to work is only effective el de osvei alei, that you put the ladder next to the platform that is extending from the wall. Aval osvei bahadei, if you didn't put the ladder, that you could climb up the ladder and go onto this platform, but rather you put the ladder alongside this platform, arvuchei arviach, all you did is you just widened the area of the platform. But the ladder does not now serve as a way to get onto the platform. And since the ladder doesn't serve as a way to get onto the platform, then that platform cannot be used to diminish or be able to access the other side of the chatzar. V'aram Nachman Amar Avua, Koysel Tsha'asr, if you have the wall not being 10 tefachim tall, but rather you have the wall 19 tefachim tall, tzarech ziz achad latiroi, you need to have one platform that will come out of the wall within 10 tefachim of the ground till that platform. And then, therefore, there will be no area that's more than 10 tefachim separated from the platform to the floor or from the platform to the top of the wall. And therefore, if you're going to have a situation where the wall is not just 19 tefachim tall, but rather the wall is koisel esrim, the wall is going to be 20 tefachim tall. So now you're going to have, says the Gemara Tzorach, shnei zizim latiroi. You're going to have two platforms, because the platform has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, and the platform also has to be within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. Amar Rav Chisda, and these platforms are effective. Hu shemidam zesh loike neged zeh. Again, the platforms have to be placed in a way that I could use them to go up the platforms to the top of the wall. So if I'm going to have one platform on top of the second platform, I really haven't accomplished much. So the way to make it that it should accomplish something is by having the platform within 10 tefachim of the ground. Well, if it's 10 tefachim, it should be exactly 10 tefachim from the ground, and have it built or placed in a way that I can have a ladder leaning onto it to climb up the ladder to go to the top of this platform, and then have another ladder going from the platform, from the bottom platform, up to the upper platform again, in a way that I could climb up those stairs to get to the upper platform and then be able to get to the top of the wall. The Gemara, actually, according to most Rishonim, goes off to a different topic now. We've learned many times that if we have a beam sitting in Rosh Hashanah that's 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, 4 by 4 wide, that top of that area is considered a Rosh Hashanah. Now what the Gemara begins to discuss is how could we take away from this area the din of a Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Omid Rosh Hashanah, we have this beam in Rosh Hashanah, Gevaya Asara, which is 10 tefachim tall, V'roch of Arba, 4 tefachim wide, V'notzba Yosid, and you put a nail on top of that beam, Kol Shehu, so now you don't have the width of 4 tefachim, because the nail is taking away from that width. And if you don't have the proper width, you won't have a Rosh Hashanah. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rambam, however, explains that the nail wasn't put on top of the beam. Rather, the nail was put on the side of the beam. And what that does is, because the nail was put onto the side of the beam, so the beam now could be used for like a hook for hanging something, and therefore that beam gets the halacha of a kamlus. It loses the status of Rosh Hashanah. However, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Adar Rav Hava, Ubegoiva Shloisha. When was this discussed? Is if the beam is higher than 3 tefachim. But if the beam is less than, that the nail is sticking out 3 tefachim, but the way Rashi learns. But if the nail is sticking out less than 3 tefachim, then the nail is considered just part of the top of the beam. And since it's considered just part of the top of the beam, it's not considered part of the, then it doesn't have its own identity. And because it doesn't have its own identity, it's no longer, it doesn't have the ability to take away the Rosh Hashanah status. Abaya, Rava Tavayu, Dami Tavayu, have Rabbi and Rava both are of the opinion, even if this nail is not 3 tefachim tall, it doesn't make a difference. It takes away from this top of the beam being Rosh Hashanah. My Tama, because once you have the nail there, it prevents you from being able to use the entire surface of the top of the beam. Lemishtamishle, you can't use anymore the entire surface of the top of the beam. Ravashi, however, holds afilu gvoya shloisha. Even on the contrary, even if the nail is sticking out more than 3 tefachim, it will not diminish the surface of the beam. My tama, because efshtu tali b'mida, the nail doesn't really prevent you from using the top of the surface. It can be used as a hook, and therefore, since it doesn't prevent you from being able to use the top of the surface, it doesn't make it lose the din of Rosh Hashanah. Omer Rav Achabrei, the Rav Ravashi, that was that you're saying that the nail doesn't take away from it being considered Rishus HaYachid. What's going to be halacha? Milakula b'saydis. You put nails on the entire top of the surface of this beam. Mahu. What will be the halacha? Amalei. Lashmielach. Didn't. Zravashi said to Rachabrei the Rava, have you not heard Hod Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what Rabbi Yochanan taught us? The Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Habar v'chal yasa, if you have a pit, I'm not talking, the way the Rishonim explain, we're not talking about the width, we're not talking about the depth of the pit. The depth of the pit is obvious, that if the depth of the pit is 5 tefachim deep, and the area around it, is the bank around that is also 5 tefachim high, so now we have a depth of 10 tefachim. And since we have a depth of 10 tefachim, we have the proper dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Here too, just like we see that we could combine the depth and the bank to get the required 10 tefachim, so too do we combine them for the width. And that if by combining the bank, the width from one end of the area around the pit to the other area around the pit, we have 4 tefachim, we're going to have Rishus HaYochid. And if somebody will put it something from Rishus Rabbim on top of that area, it'd be considered he carried from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid. Now, v'amai. But now the question is, why is this area around the pit able to be mitzdarif, to combine, to get the required dalad tefachim? Halemishtamishlei. There isn't any one area that's 4 tefachim wide. You have the bank around the pit on one side, then you have the pit, and then you have the bank again. So how do they all combine to give us the required dalat tefachim? Elamai islach lemeimer. How do we answer the question? The manach midi, that since I could put something to cover this entire area, a piece of wood, whatever, or mishtamish, and therefore and put something on top of that covering that will cover an area of dalat tefachim by dalat tefachim, that's why it's considered an area which is Rishus Rabbim, Rishus HaYochid. Hachinami, here too, even if we fill the entire area on the top of this beam with nails, it doesn't make a difference. I could put a board on top of those nails and it will be Rishus HaYochid. Hachinami, the monach midi mishtamish. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Kaisel Asara. You have a wall that's Asara Tefachim tall. Tzarech Sulam Arba Asala Tira. So he says that we have the ladder that will be able to say that I could use that ladder to climb up to the top of the wall has to be at least 14 Tefachim. Because you can't go up a ladder which is vertical. You have to put it on an incline. So you have to have, for a wall that's 10 tefachim, you need an incline of 3 tefachim. You have to have an incline of 4 tefachim. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, afilu shloisha tefachim mashahu, that's enough to have a proper incline. And the way I sort of Rishonim explain his opinion, Taisvis, that indeed you really need an incline of 4, like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul said. But even if you'll have that incline, and it doesn't reach the actual top of the wall, since it's going to be very close to the top of the wall, I could just take that step up and climb on top of the wall. Abaya, however, holds a fila echad asa mashu. Even if the ladder is just 11 tefachim and a mashu tall, it's fine. Because since, even if you'll have it on the proper incline, the top of the ladder will be within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall. Since the top of the ladder will be within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall, I'll be able to easily, says Abaye, reach the top of the wall. He holds differently. He holds that a ladder that is vertical is still considered a valid ladder. And therefore, according to Rav, even if I put the ladder up vertically, it's a good ladder. And therefore, I'm going to get within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall. I combine all of these factors, and it's considered a proper ladder to be able to consider that I can reach the top of the wall. Amar Rav, and that's exactly what Rav just taught us. That's exactly what we just learned, is Rav's opinion. Sulam Zokov, a ladder which is completely vertical, memat, can be used to diminish the height of the wall. Gemara, I received this as a Kabbalah from my Rebbe's, v'lo yedana my Tama, but I wasn't quite sure what's the reason for that, because it really isn't easy to get up. So why would it be considered a valid ladder? Don't you really don't understand the reasoning for this? Just like we began today's shiur, when you have these two platforms that come out of the wall, they're not really that easy to use to climb up to the top of the wall. Yet the Gemara at the beginning of our shiur clearly taught us that it's considered an adequate way to consider as a ladder to get up the wall. Here too, that will be the same. And as Tosfos the Vayamaskil Omar points out, that even though Shmuel is going out of the way to explain the opinion of Rav, Shmuel himself doesn't agree. Shmuel holds that an itztaba lagabi itztaba is indeed easier to traverse than a straight ladder. And therefore, a straight ladder, according to Shmuel, unlike Rav, will not be adequate. But an itztaba will be fine. Amr Rabbi, the column shem bavel, palm trees in bavel, and it's tzrichim kva. They don't have to be there permanently to be considered a place that will diminish the wall. Ask them, my tama, if what's the reason that they have that ability? The halacha is that they could be moved on Shabbos. And we learned in yesterday's shiur that anything that could be moved on Shabbos cannot serve as a way to get to the top of the wall. Answers the Gemara, kvedim kvasim. Indeed, they're not muksa. They technically could be moved on Shabbos, but the reality is that they're heavy. And because they're heavy, they're going to be there for the entire Shabbos. And since they're going to be there for the entire Shabbos, the halacha is that they become permanent and could serve as a way to diminish the height of the wall. Rabbi Yosef, Omer B'Shem Rabbi Yosha, Suma Shebebovel, the ladders in Bovel, and a Tzrichim Kva. And again, the same question. A ladder can be moved on Shabbos, so why could the ladder serve this purpose? My Tama, Kvedim Kavasan. The fact that they're heavy makes that they're going to be there permanently. Comments the Gemara. Manda Omer, Rabbi Yosha, who held Sumas, that ladders are considered permanent, he will certainly agree, Koshkein the column, that these trees are considered permanent. However, the man on the column that holds that the trees are considered permanent, it may be that only trees are considered permanent, ladders are not considered permanent enough to diminish the height of the wall. In yesterday's shiur as well, in Dav Ein Zayin on a base, and we quoted this at the beginning of our shiur today as well, we learned that in order for a ladder to be able to diminish, we should be able to get to the top of the wall, the ladder has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. So Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi, Suma mikan v'suma mikan. We have a narrow ladder on one side, another narrow ladder on the other side. The kashim b'emtsim, we have pieces of straw in between these two ladders. The halacha is what is the halacha? Can that be considered a ladder that if we combine them all, we will now have a ladder which is 4 tefachim wide. Will that work or not? Mahu. Amalei, en kaf regel oyle behen. You can't have a person place his foot on the straw. It's not sturdy enough to put your foot on it, and therefore it can't be used to be part of the ladder. But now we have a different question. Kashimikan, the kashimikan, the sum ba'emtsa. We have a narrow ladder in between to the straw. What will be the halacha? And now, the ladder itself doesn't have the required 4 tefachim width, but if we combine the straw on the two sides of the ladder, we have the proper width. Again, kashmikan, the sum ba'emtsa. What's going to be the halacha? Amalei, harei kaf regel oil behem. Somebody could climb up the ladder that's in the middle. The straw on the side is only there to help you, to support you as you climb up the ladder. And therefore, it will be considered a proper ladder to climb up the wall. Another question. You have, again, our narrow ladder in the middle, and on the side, chokak lahashlim b'koyslim. You made holes in the wall to give you that proper width. Mekama. how much do you have to, how high up do you have to make these holes that they could be considered like the straw that we just learned, a proper side support to the ladder? Amalei, so Ravito Rabbi Yosef Basara, we have to have that up to 10 tefachim of the height of the wall, you have these holes in the wall. Once you have a ladder that has the proper width of 4 tefachim now, by height of 10 tefachim, it doesn't make a difference that the wall higher up doesn't, above the 10 tefachim, doesn't have these holes. Amalei, chak kai kule bekasel. What's going to be the halacha where there are no ladder, but you made holes in the wall to climb up the wall? What is the din then? Bekama, how high up in the wall do you have to have those holes? Amalei, so he said, Malek Kavosa, the whole height of the wall. Ask the Gemara, Umay Shnah, why in the first halacha, when you have a ladder with the holes in the wall on the side of the ladder, that we say that the holes only have to reach up to 10 tefachim, and why, does he ask, when you have the hole just relying on those holes, do the holes have to go all the way to the top? Amalei, in the first case, mistalikalei, really you have a ladder, and you could climb up the ladder. I need some support. So as long as I have support for 10 tefachim on the height of the ladder, that is enough that I should be able to be comfortable to climb up the ladder to get to the top of the wall. Hacha, when you don't have a ladder, lemistalikalei, he won't be able to climb up to the top of the wall unless he has holes in the wall that go all the way to the top of the wall, and therefore the two situations are not the same. Bamnei Rabbi Yosef Mraba, Osel Ilan Sulam, if somebody used a tree to be the ladder, had to climb up the tree, to climb up to the wall. Mahu, what's the halacha? Is that going to be fine? Tabai, the question is a question according to Rebbe that we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The Rebbe's opinion was that if you put Erev Tchum on a tree, even though we can't get the Erev off the tree on Shabbos, because as we learned, you're not allowed to move a tree on Shabbos. But since Ben Hashmoshes, you could have gotten the Erev Tchumim, because as we learned, Ein Shvus, there is no Shvus Ben Hashmoshes. And therefore, maybe here it's the same. To Boil Rabbanan, and the question also is a question according to Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan held putting an Erev Tchumim on a tree is not a valid Erev. The fact that you could get it off Bein HaShmashas is not true, because Bein HaShmashas, you're not really supposed to violate the Rabbanim. And the Gemara explains this question a little further. Tebaile Rebbe, the question is according to Rebbe, because at Kanlo Kama Rebbe Hassam, Rebbe over there held that you could put an Erev Tchum on a tree, Shekol Davishum Shem Shvos, for as we just explained, since using a tree is only an Issa de Rabbanim, since using a tree is only the Rabbanan, like Gozerlov, they didn't make the Issa Rabbanan Bein HaShmashas, Hani Mili Bein HaShmashas. So as we just explained, by Bein HaShmashas, Chazal were lenient that we could violate the Rabbanans, particularly as we learned when it's Letzorich Mitzvah. And the Erev Tchumim is put down Letzorich Mitzvah. Alva Kula Yoima, when we put down Erev Chatzeris, for Erev Chatzeris, it has to be a place that's accessible the entire Shabbos. Certainly during Shabbos, we can't climb up the tree. And since during Shabbos, we may not climb up the tree, it's not going to be a tree, therefore can't serve as a way to access the two Chatzeris. Oidilma, or the Gemara says the other way, Afila Rabbonon, Rabbanan will agree that the tree is acceptable here. Pischahu, all relying for the tree is just to make a way of access. And you can't climb up the tree. That's a side issue. There's a side issue of Ar Yehuda Ravaleh, that there's a tree that's preventing me. But that doesn't mean that there's anything in that prevents us from having the tree as one, from having a good way of access. The Chibinarov, based on this Gemara, says that even as long as an Erev was accessible Bein HaShemashes, the halacha is Erev Tchumim, it has to be accessible Bein HaShemashes, but he says that it has to be accessible in a way that I knew that technically I could get it on Shabbos. But if I didn't have ability to get it on Shabbos, and maybe the halacha is different. For example, to speak about this halacha a little more. When we learned the halachas of Erevin, we mentioned that it was very common that the Eruv HaTzeiros were put in the Beis HaKnesses. They were left in the shul. So the Paiskim discuss, the Noida Yehuda has a very serious tshuva around this subject. And the Noida Yehuda says that if the Erev was put in the shul of a town that doesn't have an Erev around the whole town, so since the town does not have an Erev around the whole town, there is no way for me to get to my Eruv HaTzeiros. If I can't get to my Eruv HaTzeiros, says the Noida Yehuda, he actually quotes a Chacham Tzvi that says, and the Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Samachay Sifkotten Mem quotes this Chacham Tzvi, quotes this Noida Yehuda, that since I can't get to my Eruv HaTzeiros, if my Eruv HaTzeiros is not accessible, it's not going to be considered a valid Eruv HaTzeiros. It's interesting, however, that the Prima Godim, the Magen Avraham, quotes a sefer called Evan HaOzer that says that since in most towns the inability to get to the Erev is because when they didn't make Eruv HaTzeiros is not because there's an Issa D'Raisa. Most towns are Carmelis, and therefore not getting to the Erev is only an Issa D'Rabbanon. Therefore, it's different. Of course, the Noida Yehuda takes great exception to this opinion cited by the Evan HaOzer, because the Noida Yehuda says that, I don't understand the Evan HaOzer. Our Gemara just taught us that in order for an Erev Chatzeris to be considered a valid Erev Chatzeris, it has to be in a place that it's accessible on for the duration of Shabbos. Yes, walking through a Carmelis, carrying through a Carmelis, as this is the Rabbanon, but we may not violate an Issa D'Rabbanon, and therefore why is it mutter? The interesting thing is that the Tshuvas Reb Akiva Eiger in Simen Yudalid does quote this Evan HaOzer, and many Paiskim, I saw the Chazon Ish, are very, don't understand how we can rely on this Evan, how Reb Akiva Eiger, how the Magen Avraham could quote an Evan HaOzer when our Gemara clearly indicates that the Erev has to be accessible to you when no Isser is involved, otherwise the Erev is not a valid Erev. I saw one pshat trying to explain the opinion of the Evan HaOzer. We learned, we've discussed this Shaila previously, if somebody finds himself carrying something on Shabbos, what could he do? So we learned if he carries from Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaYochid, Derech Rosh HaRabim, without stopping, so there was no Akir in Hanocha, it's maybe B'dievid Mutter. Certainly if you're doing this through a Carmelis. So they want to suggest that since there is technically a way that if the shul is obviously Rosh HaYochid, and to get from the shul to where you live, to your chotzer, you have to go through a Carmelis. But if you won't stop, you'll just keep on walking the whole time carrying the Eruv HaTzeiros, it will be mutter. So now I have a way to get there. Since I have a way to get there, it's a valid Eruv HaTzeiros. Another interesting question that I saw the Paiskim discuss, that there was a situation where curfew was once put on Yerushalayim, where nobody could walk outside from 6 in the evening and till 6 in the morning. And as we just learned, we had an Erev put around. This was, Yerushalayim has an Erev around the entire city. So the issue that we just discussed of being able to carry that food to your house is not an issue because there's that's a Tzuras HaPesach. There's an Erev around the entire town, but the Erev is not accessible because legally you can't bring anything, you can't walk in the street, and you can't carry anything from the shul to your chatzar. That the Har Tzvi was asked this question, and he says that if the Erev cannot be carried, cannot be brought, not because of this halach, not because of a halachic limitation, but because the reality doesn't allow us to bring this Erev, you have this curfew, that's enough of a reason that the Erev should not be considered an Erev. And he brings, and the Shas Tshuvas, Noi de Behuda, Tanyona, Erechaim Simen Lamates, speaks about a certain similar situation where they, in the time of the Gzeres, where they closed down the shul. And if you left the Erev in the shul, and it was illegal and impossible to get to your Erev, then the Erev is not a valid Erev, even though it's not a halachic impediment. Similarly, here too, according to the Har Tzvi, it would, if there's anything that impedes us from being able to get to an Erev, even though it's not a halachic impediment, the halach is it will not be a valid Erev. I did see that there are other paiskim that are a little more lenient with the Shaila, the Shaila of Tshuvas Avnei Tzedek. He says, he speaks about a situation where you have a shul that is condemned because the government said it's not safe to go into that shul. And the Avnei Tzedek says that again, since the Erev was placed in a condemned building, by being placed in a condemned building means that the Erev is not, and you're not allowed to enter it, so it makes it inaccessible. There are paiskim that disagree, and they say that since it's accessible, it's fine. Along the same shaila, the paiskim discuss. Let's say Shabbos is Erev Pesach. We know that on Erev Pesach, we're not allowed to eat chametz after Shor Chamishas. So if you're going to use bread to make that Erev for Shabbos, it may not be a valid Erev if you're going to use challah bread, because you're not allowed to eat that bread for the entire duration of Shabbos. The interesting discussion that I saw the Shaila of Tshuvas Chelkos Yaakov discusses, but maybe you should not be allowed to use matzah, because we know that in Erev Pesach we don't eat matzah. Of course, the issa to eat matzah on that Erev Pesach is not similar to the issa of eating bread. Bread, no one could eat. Matzah, you could serve to your children, you could serve to any non-Jewish employees that you may have, and therefore, on a Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, one should be very careful not to use bread for Eruv HaChatzeres. Ask the Gemara another question. Osalas Sheiris Sulam. We know we've been discussing about ladders. So let's say you made your ladder out of a Sheira, Avodah Zarah, which is Osa B'Hanah, Mahu. What's going to be the halacha? Can that be valid for the halachas of Eruv HaChatzeres, which we have been discussing? Says the Gemara, Tabayla Rabbi Yehuda. It's a question according to the opinion of Yehuda. Again, another issue that we discussed on that Flamen Aleph, Amen Aleph. What's the halacha if you put your Eruv Tchumim in a Beis HaKfaris? So even though Beis HaKfaris is also Bahanoah, Rabbi Yehuda was lenient that it's valid. Tabal Rabbanon, who hold that an Erev that's put on a Beis HaKfaris, because it's also Bahanoah, is not a valid Erev Tchumim. Why? Because the Baal Rabbi Yehuda, at kan lekom Rabbi Yehuda hosom, the mutna liknos bayis bisura no. You're allowed to be kind of shvisa there. Now, there's a new consideration. El hosom, the boss, the konale Erev, loinich le de linter. After you were kind of shvisa, then I don't care anymore if the Erev is there for the duration of Shabbos, and therefore, it's a valid Erev. Whereas, as we just finished explaining, when we speak about Eruv HaChatzeres, they have to be there for the duration of Shabbos. And if I'm putting it in a place which it's also Bahanoah, we're going to have a problem. I feel a Rabbanon, even though the Rabbanon hold that if I put the Erev Tchumim by such a place, it wouldn't be valid. Here it would be valid. Because Pesachu, really, what am I using this ladder? I need this ladder to be able to access, as we keep on repeating, the top of the wall. I am able to access the top of the wall through this ladder. It's an Aryeh who Dervilei. There's something that's preventing me, but that doesn't mean that the ladder isn't the ladder. Amalei. So we had these two questions. What's going to be an halacha if you make the Erev out of a tree? If you make the ladder out of a tree? And what's going to be an halacha if you make the ladder out of a sherah wood? Amalei. So Rav responded to Rabbi Yosef, Elon, if you make it out of the ladder, mutter, it's fine. A sherah, if you make it out of the sherah, it's a surah. Mask of law, Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda asked Rabbi, if anything, I would say just the opposite. Ad Rabbi, Elon, Issa Shabbos Karimla. What prevents us from being able to climb up the tree? Because as we keep on repeating, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb up a tree. And therefore, since it's a Shabbos Issa that prevents the kashrus of this Aleph, therefore, that ladder should not be considered a good ladder. A Shera, it's not an Issa Shabbos that's the consideration here. Issa Dava Acha Garim Loi. It's a different Issa. It's a side Issa. This Avodah Zarah Loi Nitzer. And therefore, it manami, kiyasa ravan amar rabbeloza, ramilei amar rabbevua amar rabbeyochran, kosh is a Shabbos garm loy. If it's an Issa Shabbos that prevents the validity of the Erev, then, or the ladder, to be a little more accurate, and our sugya, osur, I cannot rely on such a ladder. Kosh is a dova ach garm loy. But if it's a different Issa that causes the problem, like an Ashera, mutter. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, masni hocha. This is the way he learned this Gemara. Elon, a tree, is plucked to the Rebbe Rabbonim. That just like Rebbe held that an Erev Tchumim that's put up on a tree is a good Erev Tchumim, because it could be taken by an Ishmashis, so too will Rebbe hold that an Erev that's put on, Erev Chetzeris that's put there is fine. Why? Because, as the Chazon Ish explains, Rebbe, the Gemara is holding now, since at the beginning of Shabbos it was a valid Erev Chatzeris, Rebbe's going to hold that if it was a good Erev Chatzeris at the beginning of Shabbos, that's all that counts. The Rabbanon, who hold that you can't put an Erev Tchumim on a tree, will similarly hold that you can't put an Erev Chatzeris on a tree. Vashera, and similarly, the question of an Ashera is going to be plucked Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. That just like Rabbi Yehuda, if you put an Erev in a base of Kfaris, it's fine, Erev Tchumim. Here too, he'll be lenient. And the Rabbanon who are machmer there are going to, the Rabbanon who are machmer there are going to be machmer here as well. But ask the Ritva, I don't understand. The Gemara said that a Shera may be easier than an Elon, because a Shera, the Isser, is not an Isser Shabbos, whereas the Isser of an Elon is an Isser Shabbos. But an Asherah is still a tree. So yes, it has also the Issa of Avodah Zarah, but it also has an Issa Shabbos. So because of that question, that the Ritva says that when the Gemara speaks here about an Asherah, it's speaking about an Asherah which is detached from the ground. And since the Asherah is detached from the ground, the only Issa that we need to take into consideration is this Avodah Zarah. There is no Issa Shabbos. Rekiva Eger says a very interesting Chiddush. He says, even though we know, and we've learned this many times, there's an Isser to climb a tree on Shabbos, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Isser to climb on a tree on a Shabbos doesn't apply to an Asherah tree. Why? He says, what's the Isser that you're not allowed to climb up on a tree on Shabbos? For Chazal, we're concerned that you may cut off, break off a branch of the tree, which is, of course, also to be done on Shabbos. However, when we have an Asherah tree, which, as we're learning, is also Bahanob, there is no concern that you're going to break off a branch to use it. Because everybody knows you're not allowed to use that branch. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, even an Asherah tree which is connected to the ground, the only Isser involved in climbing up the tree is the Issa Hanob Avodah Zarah. There is no Isser Shabbos to climb up an Asherah tree. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we have a huge Chiddush. That even though we've learned so many times, one may not climb up a tree on Shabbos, Rav Kivega says that Isser would not apply to an Avodah Zarah tree, to any tree which is also Bahanoah. So again, our Mishnah continues to discuss the situation where you have two chatzeris neighboring each other and there's something dividing them. When would the halacha consider them one chatzer and when will they not consider one chatzer? Charitz, says the Gemara, when you have a ditch between Shebein Shtei Chatzeris, that you have a ditch between two chatzeris, or as the Ritva says, it doesn't have to necessarily be a ditch between two chatzeris. Even if you have a ditch in one chatzer, but it divides the chatzer in two, although the Ritva says, I'm not quite certain, should it be treated the same way? Omek Asara, if the ditch is 10 tfachim deep, Varach of Arba, and it's 4 tfachim wide, Marvin Shnayim Vayimachin, the two chatzeris are considered divided. What happens if the ditch doesn't have these dimensions for the entire length of the ditch? So he says, it depends. If we have an area on the ditch that doesn't have the proper those dimensions, so we look at this ditch as we discussed at the beginning of Masechta, the halachas of mechitzas. And if it's parts merubah al-aymid, if most of the ditch is 10 deep by 4 wide, then it would be considered that it divides it. If it doesn't, if most of the ditch doesn't have that dimension, it will not divide it. Furthermore, it has to have both of these halachas, 10 deep and 4 wide. But if it doesn't have both of these dimensions, it's not a problem. So the way Rashi seems to learn is if it doesn't have these dimensions, it's easy to just jump or climb, or just jump over. And since it's easy to jump or climb over, therefore, it doesn't serve as an area to divide it in two. I did see that there are other Rishonim that want to suggest that if the ditch has these dimensions, so then it could serve its own independent purposes. And since it could serve its own independent purposes, the halacha is that it will not be, that it therefore it divides. When it doesn't have these dimensions, it doesn't have its own independent identity. And therefore, if it doesn't have its own independent identity, it doesn't divide the two chatzeris. I feel a mola kasha tevin. Even if you filled up the ditch with straw, it's not considered closed up. Because, as Rashi explains, the Vemaskava filu, people don't leave straw there on a permanent basis. So the fact that the straw is there doesn't take it away that it should be considered as if it's closed up and now it's all connected. However, Taisa says that that's only midrabanan. Certainly, midaraisa, it is considered closed up. Mole offered troyers, but if you filled up the ditch with earth and pebbles, then it's considered completely closed up. And Ritva points out that you don't have to fill it up entirely. As long as you fill it up to the degree that you won't have an open area of 10 tefachim, or you won't have an open area of 4 tefachim wide, that's already enough that it shouldn't be considered a ditch. So Mole offered Troyris, if you filled it up with earth or pebbles, Marvin Echad Ve'emer HaMishnayim, now the two chatzeris are considered one. Nosan Olav Neser, if you put over the ditch a board that's Rochav Arba Tefachim, and that's 4 tefachim wide that goes over the ditch, V'kein, Shnei Gzustros, if you have two porches, two boards that are jutting out from your home on top of the Shus Rabim, Zukunagadzu, and these two places are, so the way Rashi seems to learn, they're next to each other, and now you want to be able to connect these two porches, so you put a board between the two porches. There are other Rishonim that learn that there are on the two sides of the street. Again, the Ken Shesh Destroy Zukunagadzu, and we have this board. The halacha is Marvin Shnayim. We each can make our own Erev, but if we want Ratzum Arvin Echad, because we have this board connecting these two porches, we could connect these two sides with a board. Pachs Mikan, but But if the board doesn't have that width of 4 tefachim, then it can't serve as a connector of the two porches, and therefore these two chatzeres are considered completely separate, and ma'arvin shnayim, they ma'arvin achad. So our Mishnah discusses how, by filling something, does it lose its status. And the Shas Tshuvas Hari B'Tzomim discusses a situation where somebody had a bathroom in a house, and now that bathroom, somebody else bought the house and doing construction, and the room that was used for the bathroom is now going to be used for a different purpose. And he clearly indicates that if by construction you put up new walls and you take out the toilet, the sink, whatever, that is an adequate way, that he says is certainly an adequate way of making that that room is no longer considered a bathroom and you could daven there, etc. Ask the Gemara, the tevin lechayitz, is straw that you put into the ditch that you don't intend to take away not considered a good way of filling up the ditch? For Tanan, we're going to learn in the Mishnah in Daf Ayin Tes, matbein, a pile of straw, bein shtei chatzeres, that's between two chatzeres, gvay asar tefachim, the halach is ma'arvin shnayim, vei ma'arvin echad. They does serve to separate the two chatzeres, even though we're ultimately going to take the straw away. As long as the straw is there now, it separates. And the fact that it's going to be ultimately removed doesn't make a difference in the halacha. So why in our Mishnah is the fact that the straw is in the ditch not counted because I say that the straw is going to be removed? Amar Bayil, in your mechitza, when we're speaking about mechitza, everybody will agree that a pile of straw that has the proper dimensions is considered a mechitza, even though it's ultimately going to be removed. Here we're talking about chatzitza. Here we're talking about where we have a ditch. The ditch has the proper dimensions to be considered a ditch. Now I want to fill up the ditch. And the question is it, when is the ditch considered filled up and when not? Ibatli, only if I intend to leave it there on a permanent basis is it considered that it's filled. Loibatli, but if I don't intend to leave it there on a permanent basis, loichayitz, to make it that it should be considered filled up is much harder than to make it be considered a mechitza. A mechitza is always filled up. It's only considered filled up when I indeed filled it up with the intention of leaving that filling permanently.